Maturity tells us that there's a difference in people. What we have discovered in our congregation, one of our practical struggles has been not a lot of the doctrinal thing, but a very practical problem of the differences of people. There are two kinds of people in the church, and that's an oversimplification. I'm aware of that. But there are people who are thinkers, and there are people who are feelers. And the thinkers, you're probably going to find yourself on one side or the other in this room, and I thought about asking you which you are, but I don't want to embarrass you when your wife tells you to put your hand down. A thinker, though, is someone who likes facts and concepts, and they ask all these questions. They say things like, how much is it going to cost? And how long is it going to take? And how many people are going to be involved? And they ask the question, what do you think about this? And they expect to hear a rational opinion back. And when they start talking about things, they said, now we've got to put all of our ducks in a row. We've got to get all the plan together and make sure it works just right before we unveil this. Seems prudent, doesn't it? And then when they start talking, they said, we want what is best for the church. Now, on the other side of the aisle, there are the feelers. And the feelers feel it to death. It's all emotion for them. And after all, if they like it, what's the problem? And the question is not any of the questions you ask. In fact, if you say, how much is this going to cost? They're very offended. You have just gotten to be an opponent to that whole proposition because you ask how much it's going to cost. Who cares what it's going to cost if I like it? And the question is not, how do I think about it? It's, how do I feel about it? And when you ask how do I feel about it, is I don't see how anybody could oppose this since it's such a wonderful idea. So we don't need any plans. Let's just go do the thing and it'll work out great in the end. And their question is not what's good for the church, it's what's good for the people. Now, neither are right and neither are wrong. They just are. But it gets some interesting problems. One of the problems we've had recently, it's not really a problem, it's just kind of an interesting tidbit. Earlier this year, we started a program called Faith Builders on Sunday night. One of the things it did was it took our kids and taught them Bible lessons while the adults were worshiping on Sunday nights. Not on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. Started by some of our younger ladies who really wanted something for their kids, and they formulated this about a year ago. And I could tell you all kinds of things that could fit in here, but I'll just cut to the chase, and that is, it lifted our attendance. Done marvelous for Sunday night attendance. And so Robert Oglesby, the preacher, turns to one of the ladies and says, you know, I want to just tell you how much we appreciate all the work you've done because this has really boosted our attendance. Now, what do you expect to hear next? Here's what I'd expect. Boy, I sure am glad you recognize how good this program was. Next thing out of this woman's mouth was, well, the kids are having fun too. Now, you have to stop and think about that for a moment and think, what difference does that make? All the difference in the world. And so the feeler does that. Feelers need thinkers and thinkers need feelers because all of us thinkers help put the plans together to make it work, but all the feelers supply the energy to make it happen. I dare say any good thing in your church has started because somebody felt very strongly about it. But I also think anything that has kept going in the church had somebody who knew how to make it work. There are a lot of things you can do to help connect with people. A train engine, when it tries to grapple with a car, never expects the car to come to it. It has to go to the car, grapple it carefully, then it can move it forward. There are a lot of things you can do. You can write notes. You can be complimentary. A lot of things, what we've learned is that sometimes you just need to go up to some people and say, we are so glad that you're part of this congregation. Now, for the thinker in you, you go, well, of course we are. We hadn't gone any up and said, would you please go to that church up the road? And so if we don't say that, we want you here. But they want to hear the opposite. We are so glad to have you here. But be careful how you solve problems. Because you may solve the problem as a thinker and you do all the right things and put it all in the right row, and the people on the other end said, but I don't feel that anymore. Before you solve a problem, go to the feelers and get them to help you solve the problem. They'll bring the emotion to it. I'm reminded of the woman who was flying on the airliner. She was scared to death of flying. And she's in the seat next to the aisle, across the seat from this fellow who's very experienced. And the lights begin to flicker, and he calls the flight attendant over. He said, can you do something about that? And she said, yes, sir, I will. So she goes out, and she fixes the problem. She turns the lights off. The woman turns to across the aisle and says, whatever you do, don't say anything about the engines. There are a lot of ways to solve problems that a lot of people don't like. But the challenge of grappling with the feelers and the thinkers and getting the toe together is one of the great challenges today of leadership to making the church function and work. And I dare say a lot of things that have gone awry may have started, at least, on that battleground. But then comes a great leadership challenge, and that's not to be reactive. Elders tend to wait for things to happen. They wait for the complaints to come. They wait for the problem to come. In Acts chapter 6, there's a problem, and the grumbling is taking place, but who solves the problem? It's those apostles. They get together, they make the plan, they present the plan, the people carry out the plan. They didn't wait for things to happen. A lot of times we have to make things happen before anybody sees them. Sometimes you need to look at the needs of your congregation and say, what are those needs? We have a growing 20-something class that a year and a half ago were 3 and it's up to about 40 now. The elders saw that coming and put that in place before it was asked for. And sometimes you look at the problems and you say, I've got to do something about the problem. And if it's a small problem now, if you don't do something about it, if you don't confront it, if you don't ask the questions now, you will have to ask bigger questions and pay a whole lot more pain later. If there are some grumblings in your congregation, address them today, not next week. Sometimes you also need to think ahead and say, what are our plans for the future? Neighborhoods change. Waterview, we had a growing church for a long, long time. We didn't have to do anything for it because Fox and Jacobs was doing it for us. They were building houses all the way around us. And we pick up 10, 20 people a week. But all that stuff's moved to McKinney or further. And so we have to be much more deliberate about evangelism now. We can't wait for them to come to us. We have to go to them. And elders have to be able to see that before it's mandated by culture. Because the person who goes first is the person who's the leader. And the person who waits is always the follower.